Well, if we seem giddy this morning, it may be because we all had a good time last night. We were missing the big swagoo as we had a
look at the crew.
Little get-up family dinner tonight.
To G credit, he called me and asked what time would I be in the city. I said I won't be there till late.
Yeah, well, we did dinner at 5:30.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, we're not really
nice early. I don't mind about the early bird special. Y'all fast? I don't mind it.
So Marcus was invited. Fast?
Hey, I had to eat again later.
You know who wasn't invited was Orlovsky, and he's mad. He tweeted all these years on
so
get-up, no dinner invite.
So what, man?
So lame, bro.
They don't. He wouldn't have ate anything anyway.
Yeah, he's gonna ruin the experience.
Ruin the experience.
Exactly.
It's really.
When people
shut
are
up.
Like,
yeah, he's gonna be like, ooh, gross. What's that? Salt?
Salt?
I will have none of this.
Pepper.
That's how you do, Foxy.
Hate it.
What is this? What is this sauce?
What we may have had was a little Patron. We welcome you back live to the Seaport, brought to you by Patron.
Yeah.
Action starts.
Hall of Fame.
With
Hall of Fame.
Let's roll. Right. Week 4 begins tomorrow night. Let's go through our Week 4 Big 4. Kmart, let's start with tomorrow night's game. What's the number one thing you're watching for Lions-Packers?
Huge game. I actually want to see if the Lions are who we thought they were in the preseason. Look, they've beaten the Packers, I believe, 3 straight times in a row. But now there are questions about could Jordan Love actually and the Packers win this division? No, this is supposed to be the Lions division. This team came off hot last year. I think they have the roster to do, and I think they will win.
Swagoo, Patriots, Cowboys, what's the number one thing you're watching?
I'm looking to see. I don't know. I forgot what
the offensive line.
The offensive line being back healthy and protected. That first of all, they got to get their guys back. This is one thing we haven't talked about with Dallas in the past. They've been very injured on the offensive line and inconsistent. Are they gonna get these guys back and be able to protect? Because they play Bill Belichick now. Yeah. This ain't just a toss-up win for the Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely not. And then they get San Francisco the week after that. Jeff, Dolphins, Bills, what are you watching?
Ooh, give me a shootout, baby. I want to see points all over. Josh Allen seems to play well against the Dolphins. We're seeing what Tua and this Dolphins offense are doing, hanging up 70 against Denver. I am looking for a shootout. And here's the one thing I really want to see from the Bills. Take Hill out of the game. Take him out of the game.
You don't get out of here with that offensive line.
See what you can do.
You just say take him out of the game.
Do your job.
You know what?
Do your job.
Take him out of the game.
I'll come back to that one. In the meantime, Neek, what are you watching for Chiefs Jets?
I don't know. See if God cares about y'all enough to protect y'all for a hot second. I don't know. That's it. And to see if the Jets turn on each other.
Yeah.
It's a prayer. They're going to have to pray. They're going to have to keep fighting. But we expect it to be a rough game. So I'm really interested in seeing what's going to happen.
Taylor Swift is not in the audience and sees you guys embarrass yourselves. I just can't have that.
She's going to be there.
It could be so tragic. Taylor Swift could write a double album about the Jets.
If Taylor Swift invited you to go to the game, would you go to be in the – to be there?
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous question. Of course.
He's a Swiftie. I don't know. I don't know if you want to see that in person. That's why I'm asking. I'm not sure if you want to see the game in person.
You don't want Taylor Swift to see you in that state?
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. You know he can't hide his emotions.
Greedy, unhinged.
Yeah, where are you?
It's a tough choice for me. In the meantime, the only person Jet fans really want to see, even more than Taylor Swift, is Aaron Rodgers. He was on McAfee yesterday, and he had this message for their fans, their stars, and everybody else.
I'm about to come get this man.
There's adversity points in every season. This year it's happening early and people are coming for us. And there's, you know, some heated conversations on the sideline and different things. I think we need to hold our poise a little bit better. We just need to grow up a little bit on offense and lock in and do our jobs, everybody, and not point fingers at each other. It sucks not being there. It's tough. It's really hard. I miss the guys. Missed the leadership opportunity, missed balling, competing. Feel like, you know, if I was there, some of those, you know, things wouldn't be happening. Whether we're having success or not having success, it doesn't mean you're winning all the time and you're getting out the right way. It's when we're not having success, how do we respond? How do we respond in adversity? And that goes for our fan base and former players as well. You're not helping the cause. You're not helping the cause.
Ashwagandha.
I mean, he's right. Everything he says is right. But the only place that he's wrong is that he doesn't know what it's like to be on a team that he's not on. And that's the problem. They don't have him. And unfortunately, they feel like all hope is lost. You were just saying, I'm going through it. I am going through it.
I know it, G.
I've arrived in the fifth stage of grief, which is acceptance. And what I've accepted is the fact that he's not coming back, and all of their realistic goals, or all of their initial goals, are no longer realistic. So here's the problem. Mm. They have to try and put – there's still 3 months left in this season. So yes. They signed Trevor Siemian yesterday. That's something they obviously could have done the day after Rodgers got hurt. But, you know, I'm not sure what took them 2 weeks to do that. But let's put that aside for a moment.
Even when they do something, he still piles on.
Well, but the problem that they have is that it feels – and Rich Siemian, who covers the Jets and does an outstanding job, said this on their on his podcast – they're starting to implode. You can see it. And Aaron can't do anything about it because he's lying in a bed in California. If he was there, that wouldn't happen either. Yep. But Swagoo, it feels like it could. Mm-hmm. It is like a powder keg, and it is ready to blow.
That's what it looks like. It looks that way, and the problem is that's the reality for this football team. And as much as you want to get going and get motivated to play, you realize that you're playing at a deficit. Here's the thing, too. Like, I think this is what we have to acknowledge, and I think this is what Aaron has to understand when he's talking about this situation. They gave you full autonomy, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, this was your team, top down. Like, the owner, the general manager, the head coach, everybody. And maybe they got to realize now that we should have went about this differently, but they gave full power to Aaron Rodgers. Everybody looked at him with that twinkle in their eye. Mm-hmm. Like, this, and maybe the message is now, it's gone. It exploded. So when you a coaching staff, and when you a front office, and when the general manager goes all in, remember, Joe Douglas went out and got Lazard and Randall Cobb. They gave this. This was like Aaron Rodgers here, bro. Yeah. Like, take us to where we need to go. And now that you remove that element, that is the belief that left. The belief is not about can we play well or can we play football game. The way you set this up, think about it. If Tom Brady went to Tampa after they won 7 games, right, and everybody was like, this defense, it's same situation.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady would have got injured and you had to go back to what happened to you last year, dude, that's hard to come back from, especially when your staff and front office is preaching the same thing.
Hey, listen, here's the only thing I say that I would disagree with you. Them giving you gave him the room and the building and the team because you've seen it work with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. You saw it work with Peyton Manning in Denver because you want a culture changer.
Yes.
You want a guy who's going to come in and change the culture of your locker room.
And it worked.
That's exactly.
It was working.
And you see it. So you can't regret what you did because you did all the right things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Your problem now is you got to move on and nobody cares. Only the Jets fan cares. No other team cares about your team's problems. Nobody else outside the building cares about your problems. Your family telling you how bad it is. Woe is me. Don't nobody care about that either. We've all gone through tough times. The reality is the expectations have to change. But as players, as leaders in your own right, you have to step up and focus on your job. All you can do is your part. You can't control how Zach Wilson plays. You can't control how the defense plays if you're an offensive player or vice versa. But at some point, you can't go back to, well, Aaron got hurt. Because nobody freaking cares. It's the NFL, bro. And this is not for long for a reason. It's going to be over. And by the way, when coaches get fired, players get fired. So they've got this thing set up. Don't bail now. Step up and meet something, and let's go make something happen.
When the first hour when we talked about this, you guys made the analogy that they're in a cage with a tiger right now. And you know what you can't do is with a tiger? Negotiate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain your explanation for the situation you're in.
And see you.
When I tell you, when I say the things that I'm saying now, I understand how hard it is. And I know points in my own career where I was unable to overcome whatever outside stuff was out there. But that's why I know now that what they have is an opportunity. And all this stuff that's happening outside, Joe Namath said that, grab that.
Absolutely.
Take that in the locker room, and that's what you're going to use to talk about. And the leadership left with Aaron Rodgers. The rest of these dudes can be leaders too.
Absolutely.
This is your time. This is your chance. And maybe it doesn't work out, but what the hell else you going to do?
Yeah.
What the hell else you going to do?
You know what? I've seen it. Like, I've watched it up close. Like, I've seen this team have a talented defensive line in the past. I've seen it have good players. But the leadership has been the issue. And when you make Aaron Rodgers the end-all, be-all, and then turn around and expect these kids who literally looked up to him like he was some deity, like you can't turn this. No. But
they not the, kids.
No, they needed a leader to. He was like the Pied Piper of Florham Park, and they're like, ooh, right. Aaron's here, like we're good. And that was not. It's a hard pivot. To expect these
people
because they're trying
now.
To be leaders, yeah.
Pivot,
talking
damn it.
To.
There is a pivot that must be made. Kmart knows this because she's there around them. They cannot do it with that kid at quarterback. They will not move past that because yes. They all know that they are not giving themselves. The coaching staff is not giving them the best.
Y'all want me to tell you what needs to happen?
You want to fight through this? Get someone else on the field.
Want me to tell you what needs to happen?
Yeah.
All right. Regardless of if Zach Wilson is not good enough, right? Listen to me closely. Regardless of if Zach Wilson is not good enough and Zach Wilson is – they don't believe in Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson needs to walk in there and say, F it. I'm finna play as hard as I can. Coach, don't preserve the playbook. Call the plays, and I'm going to go. And if I throw seven interceptions, I throw seven interceptions.
I like that.
Because
I would
right
do that.
Now,
I would do that.
That is the problem. We keep talking about all of the guys on this team. The problem
like
with the Jets
like
is – they don't, they've shown that they don't believe in the guy in the most important position on their team. You can't tell players, hey, we know he can't get it done, but y'all go out there and think we can win.
Right.
You can't do that. You got to say, if you Robert Saleh, if you Woody, if you were the GM, Zach Wilson, go out there and play.
Cool.
Play free, mess it up, do whatever you need to do. Just go play. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Call on me.
Okay.
Here's my question. You want the guy who literally is scared in the pocket to say, screw it. I'm the guy.
What's the
answer? I'm
going
to throw seven
What's
interceptions.
What's the other answer?
He has no confidence. And you now want him to go out there, also,
yep.
Have some confidence. That is.
That's what
that,
I want him
that
to do.
That psychological shift, that
I don't care.
Happen.
I think so. I think.
But he got it right. Play.
There's a chance that he has a good game in that situation. There's also a chance that it goes horribly wrong. And sometimes the best thing you can do is have this thing completely break down, have a fight in the locker room, a fist fight, an argument, whatever it comes to. And you can come out of that with a new frame of mind. Like, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. This season is going to get ugly now, or it's going to get ugly later.
Because, Foxy, to your point, what I will say, what happens to a locker room is the one thing that you could say about Zach Wilson if he goes out there and does that is that he a
he
dog.
Tried.
Yeah.
Like,
boy, fight.
And that matters.
That matters.
That matters to his confidence and it matters to everybody else.
So he's going to be... He's going to show you on this particular Sunday against the Chiefs that he is something that he hasn't shown the last couple of years.
I'm just
asking.
It does not matter.
I'm just asking. Like,
he already sucked.
He's saying if they're limiting what he's doing, which you feel like they're doing in the playbook, if they're limiting, if they're shrinking, if they're talking about, okay, we're going to get this, give him shot plays, you know,
so
guaranteed shots. You can increase the ability for him to push the ball down the field, take more chances by design plays. You know what the Chiefs are going to give you. You know what's bad. They're going to get pressure. Okay, so what's our answer? Get two or three shot plays each half. Let's see what happens.
Now, you're all right. I mean, everything you're saying, everything every person here is saying is right.
The particulars, which is why it's a mess.
The particulars of the situation are just such that I actually agree with do it once, because then they'll never do it again.
What's the alternative?
Right now, the way they're coaching him, like, this band is like, I can have an okay game, or I can have a little bad
little
game.
Bad
right
game.
Now, give him the chance. You can have an awesome game, or you could
because
be
you not. What's going to get worse?
Yeah, it's true. It ain't going to get worse.
It's a pretty sad commentary, but you were right. When you were at the very bottom, I'm not sure you had
man,
any lower
swing,
to
man.
Go.
You in the ring with Tyson, and you know he a better boxer than you? Don't go in there and lay on the ropes and be like, yo, I know I'm going to get knocked out. Swing and get knocked out. Like, you might catch him, but swing, dude. They not swinging.
We ain't catching.
And that's the problem with the other 52 guys.
Yeah.
Bro, y'all not allowing him to swing.
Right. Yeah, you might just get knocked into the fourth ring. But that's the fourth row of seats. All right, coming up.
I got beat up before.
Let's get to Sunday's decision. Sunday's disaster for Dallas and Arizona, was it a bad sign or was it just a bad game? We'll talk about that. Plus, are the Dolphins the new beasts of the AFC East? We touched on this. There's a lot to get to in what might be the best game of the weekend, and we'll take you there as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt, One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back. The next game is Who You Got. Great matchups this week. A Thursday night. We got Jordan Love against Jared Goff. Jeff, who you got?
I'm going Goff. Listen, I like this Detroit team. They're tough. They play hard. I think Jared Goff has done a great job this season of managing this offense, putting this team in the right position to win. Again, I think they gave one away in week two. But as you look at this football team, I like where Goff is. I think he plays tough-minded. Dan Campbell's found his guy, and they're working to the best of their ability.
Sunday, Kmart will be in Cleveland for the Ravens and the Browns. Neek, who you got, Lamar or Deshaun?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lamar. Lamar had a rough week last weekend. Deshaun played better than he's played in a long time. However, that was one good Deshaun game out of a lot of rough ones, and I trust Lamar Jackson a lot more than I do Deshaun Watson.
And then finally, the battle in Buffalo. Swagoo, who you got, Tua or Josh Allen?
I'm taking Miami, man, Tua. I like the way this offense is playing. I like the way the Bills' defense is playing. They playing phenomenal. I just think right now, it's the fourth week of the season. It's too hard to figure out Miami right now. Maybe you'll get them down the line in the second opportunity. But right now, this offense, man, this is not – they are going to put up 30 points a game. Like, I believe that about this team because of what they have the ability to do. And that dude that's calling plays for them as their head coach,
yeah,
as much as we talk about the talent on the field, he doing some stuff that is unguardable.
Mike McDaniel doing a magnificent job. And this conversation is built to be around the quarterbacks. But I do want to go back to something that happened here just a few minutes ago, because you, Jeff, said something along the lines of, can someone just take Tyreek Hill out of the game, yeah, please? Can we just take him? And
absolutely,
I thought Dominique was going to literally turn around and slap you in the face.
I know better than to do that to Jeff. But also, yeah, somebody just blocked Myles Garrett for me. How's that sound to you?
Okay, let me just say this.
Take Quinn Williams out of the game.
Whoa.
Go right ahead.
Let me just say this. 2 weeks ago, against the Patriots, he had 5 catches for 40 yards and 1 touchdown. Don't tell me. Now, I know you got – hey, listen, I know you got to put your assets all in of where we got to go. We got to double him. We got to bracket him. We got to bring another guy down. We got to chip him. Whatever you got to do, I understand that. But what I'm saying is this engine of the Miami offense runs on Tyreek Hill. He does so many things spectacularly once the ball is in his hand. If the New England Patriots, whatever their game plan was to Tyreek Hill, go follow it and match it. Because at some point, hey, let Waddle beat you. Let Mostert beat you. Let them all, but don't let that guy who you know, and again, this dude is not just a great receiver. He's the energizer for this football team, bro. They feed off of his energy, minimize it, try to get him frustrated and see how it plays out.
Does that make sense, Neek? I mean, at some point, what you're doing is you're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a decision you have to make. The tough thing with that is the point that Spear started with. The man coaching knows that. They got answers for that. It's tough. It's a tough situation to be in.
So, Marcus, you just called them unguardable. But if you're playing defense against them, you're going in with a plan. What is your plan?
Tua. Get the Tua. Like, and the here's the issue, Jeff, with what you're saying. The timing and the rhythm of this offense and the way they spread you thin. You don't have enough assets to allocate to it. And we had Troy Aikman on Monday Night Countdown, and Dan talked about this yesterday. And Hawk, they are using Tyreek Hill like he in the Canadian Football League now.
Sure.
That was Mike McDaniel adjustment
yeah.
to what Bill Belichick did. This dude is running full speed in motion at the snap of the ball.
Right.
And if you're going to take him out of the game, how? You can't get hands on him anymore because he's using him in motion. He's giving him the ball in the backfield. And then you got a quarterback whose superpower is accuracy. Like, and I know it sounds crazy to say, well, it's unstoppable. It is unstoppable. The way you stop the Miami Dolphins is two things. They stop themselves, or you get batted balls on the quarterback and affect him before they can get going. But if you think you're going to line up in defensive formations and stop them, I think that's a foregone conclusion.
So we're talking about the Dolphins' offense for a second. I think we need to talk about the Bills' offense. The conversation that we should be having more is the connection between Josh Allen and Ken Dorsey. The loss of Brian Daboll in Buffalo cannot be overstated. And we've seen, I don't know what the Bills are, because at times they can put up 37. At times you look at them and you say, where did the offense go? There's a lack of consistency. And I think that the loss of Brian Daboll is huge. And I don't know if they're going to be able to go touchdown for touchdown with the Miami Dolphins.
Hey, Josh Allen plays good against them Dolphins, and I'm letting y'all know
that's the other way you stop them.
Yeah, is
I wanted to go
back to what you were saying about Miami, and I was on podcast with Mina, and I came to this revelation that sometimes creativity is, you assume that being on a blank sheet of paper is an opportunity for you to be most creative. But actually, when you have restrictions is when you become the most creative. And the restriction on the Miami Dolphins offense was, we have a quarterback that can't get touched. So we need to find a way to attack down the field while also getting rid of the ball as quickly as possible. And that's why they're doing this CFL type motion. They have unlocked something because of the limitation on the quarterback. So obviously concussions aren't good for anybody, but it's forced them into a situation where they've created an offense that attacks down the field deeper than most teams and does it faster than most teams. Yep. And Jeff said, just take Tyreek out the game.
I know this. When I was in Green Bay, we had a Peppers call. And it was Julius Peppers for the Bears. We're sliding his way. Whatever
this.
The defense is, have a Hill call.
Jeff, you're going to love
this. Find that dude and take him out of the freaking game.
You're going to love this.
I know this. You ain't going to beat him when he's going wild.
You're going to love this. What makes him really unguardable is the fact that they can run the ball now.
No, like sure.
That is, and you got two backs that's running 4-2 coming out of the back. That's the issue.
We could
kill Denver, and we should, for giving up 70 points. But if you look at that game, Denver was in position sometimes, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, a lot of missed tackles.
Because it's the athleticism coupled with that scheme is
can't miss a tackle.
They're incredible. I'm with Kmart. I'm interested to see Josh Allen, because after the disaster that was his performance in Week 1, they've scored 75 points in their last two games. He's playing out of his mind.
As long as he don't turn the ball over.
He could play his way into the MVP conversation 100%. With a big win this weekend. Meantime, as we continue, how about them Cowboys?
How about
D? In Big D stands for disappointing. How do they keep it from becoming disastrous? We'll get there. And speaking of disasters, are the Broncos the biggest of those in the NFL? Is the honeymoon already over for Sean Payton? And then speaking of honeymoon, here we go. It is Neek versus Hembo. Here's the question. Denver against Chicago this weekend. Justin Fields, who was the opponent the last time he had 300 yards passing in a game? That's the question.
Olive.
The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Mickey Hembo talking college.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, here we go. The trivia for Dominique, who does not look very sure of himself. The question is about Justin Fields. He's playing against the Broncos defense this week. Maybe he throws for 300 yards. Who was the opponent the last time he had a 300-yard passing game?
I'm having a hard time because I don't think he's had 300 yards in the NFL. So I'm trying to go back to college. His last college game, I'm thinking Clemson or Alabama in the playoffs or the championships. You're giving me nothing with your eyes.
I'm not giving you anything.
I'm going Alabama.
No, Clemson. No.
It was Clemson.
Oh.
It was Clemson.
I'm sorry, Marcus.
Oh, that's
Marcus.
So disappointing.
Marcus.
Look at Swagger.
I'm sorry. I should have trusted you. I should have trusted you.
Swagger was telling him it wasn't Bama. It wasn't Bama. Kimbo was fired up. Swagoo was disappointed beyond belief.
I should have trusted Nick.
Oh, that was
a mistake. I made a mistake. I trusted the white man. That's all. I should have trusted my brother Marcus. That's my bad. That's
which
my
white bad. Man?
Himbo.
For the
Himbo.
For the record, I didn't say anything.
No, I trusted that white man. I was saying it's probably Clemson. It's probably Clemson. And Himbo gave me a look like I was wrong.
Look at Swagger. Take a shot of Swagger.
Himbo called me. Hey, my bad. I let you down. I let you down, bro.
I'm sorry.
That's a lesson I should have knew.
It used to be Culture Wednesday.
All right.
G felt so attacked.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
I know.
He said it wasn't. For the record, I didn't say
I was saying.
Went up like four pitches.
I was saying.
Seriously.
And Himbo gave me a look. Oh, okay. God. I trusted him.
I was thinking, head.
Jeff must have said something. Okay. The next game is called. The next game is called Right or Wrong. Dominique, I'm coming back to you. Let's start with Jordan Love. I say Jordan Love and the Packers are going to win their division this year. Is that right or wrong?
I think it's right. I think Jordan Love has shown the ability to come back. He's shown that fire that we want to see in our starting quarterback. And I think this team is getting better as we go along. And they haven't even had their best receiver yet. So, yeah, I think Jordan Love and the Packers pull it out.
Jeff, if I were to say the Chiefs are still the team to beat in the AFC, is that right or wrong?
That's right. Listen, you got to beat the bully, right? The Chiefs have been around a long time. I understand how hot Miami is right now. People are excited. They're a great football team. The Chiefs continue to find ways to win. You've seen them do it year in and year out with Patrick Mahomes at the helm. Still, to me, the best player in the NFL. This guy's doing it, so I'm not going to dismiss them until somebody beats him.
All right, let's go to the NFC. Kmart, if I said the Cowboys are the third best team in their conference, is that right or wrong?
Hopefully it's okay sitting next to Marcus to say that is right. The 49ers and Eagles are better than them at this point. I think the Cowboys will be fine. But there's still questions about Dak in big moments. The defense obviously has to have a bounce back game.
Yeah, but the loss of Trayvon Diggs, who you see there, obviously
so broken hearted
an important factor in all of that. We promised you first sound from Jerry Jones this morning,
Jerry.
And we do have it. He made his regular weekly radio appearance this morning. He was talking about their red zone struggles. Here's Jerry.
I think the thing that is the thing that we need to zero in on is when we get that ball down in there close, we've got to get touchdowns, and that's probably across the board over these last three ball games. So we've got a long time to go in this season. We've got a lot of room to really adjust and correct these things. And so it, while it is something to note, it's not a long-range concern.
So he doesn't sound that down. What do you think?
Lower than a crippled cricket.
Lower than a crippled cricket. That's old Jerry.
You can't get things are bad.
He's hurt. After losing them Cardinals, he's hurting. You know what I mean? Swaggy, he's feeling that pain deep in his soul.
He's speaking your language right now.
Look, everyone that I've had on here this week has said this is not a bad sign. It's just a bad game.
Right.
The one person who really took exception to all this, because Micah Parsons afterwards, after the game, said, we played down to the level of our competition. And Rex was aggravated
Very
by
immature
that.
Statement.
Yeah, exactly. Rex Very was immature. Aggravated by that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Listen, because I don't know. Micah hasn't been in the league that long. We all know that he's a phenomenal player. But I think as you get older in this league, you realize the margins are very slim between 1 and 15 and 15 and 1. Like, the reality is, I know a lot of people look at it and say, no, nah, man, it's like – this league is so competitive.
Absolutely.
And a couple plays breaking your way changes your season significantly.
Absolutely.
Like, and when you think about, like, when you say playing down to somebody, that means you've, like, you've done something.
Yeah.
Right. The Cowboys ain't done nothing. Y'all defense has been really good for the past 2 years. You've been good the first two games of the season. You gave up this amount of yards. But that is the, like, don't have that mindset. If I'm talking to Mike, I'm like, bro, this – every opportunity in this game, in this league, you can lose.
Yeah.
You can lose every game in this league. And to the outside world, you're a horrible team. And when you break that film down, you realize, like, yo, we this close.
We this close.
Yeah, and that's the – it was an immature statement to make that we played down.
But was it also reflective of the fact that that can happen? I mean, the really good teams win the games they're supposed to win.
Sure.
Because we don't know how much that's going to matter. Yes, there's a ton of season left. But we're talking about San Francisco. We're talking about Philadelphia. We're talking about where these playoff games are going to wind up getting played in January. We all believe the Cowboys are going to get there. So when you stub your toe in a game where you played down to your competition, it can come back and really hurt you.
They're better than the Cardinals by a lot.
Right.
And, I mean, by a lot in NFL standards. You're normally not going to have blowouts in the league. He's right, though. Like, that's the team that they should be in that situation. It's not something you should say publicly, but they match up better in just about every position. And I think I'm guilty of underestimating the Cardinals. They've shown us in 3 weeks that they are not nearly as bad as I thought they were. So we should give them some respect. And Micah should give them some respect. Well, he don't have to give it. They took it.
But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem with that, Foxy. When you look at this game, they beat y'all, dog.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't – like, you had penalties.
Yeah, it wasn't a mistake.
But they beat defense.
Yeah.
Let's – forget about offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals beat Dallas defense.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't care if Trayvon Diggs was not there. Bro, I got – the plays of Micah missing a zone read and Josh Dobbs going 40 yards.
Yeah.
The plays of James Conner hitting his head on the goalpost because you getting out-physicaled and out-schemed.
Yep.
That had nothing to do with playing down.
Yeah.
This team came out, they had a great plan, executed it better than y'all did,
yep.
And they beat y'all. So to your point, like, we could say the talent on Dallas is what you could say you played down. Arizona beat them, though. I want America to know that this particular game, maybe if they play 9-10 times, they win 9 of them. This game, that was played, Arizona beat that.
No fluke. All right, but let's get down to the offensive struggles. The red zone really does matter in the NFL especially. You got to convert 1 of 5. I would say this part, because people are like, you know, I heard people talk about Zeke Elliott, all these different concepts of what we can do. The truth is in the red zone, it's about players, not plays. They've targeted CeeDee Lamb twice in the red zone. Like, when you think about it, like, Ferguson's been targeted 8 times.
Yep.
Okay, and I get it. And we had the 2 drops. But when you think about offensive production, you score 2 of those touchdowns, like, it changes games. And so they got to get down there. Here it is. I mean, Cooks has got 3, but CeeDee Lamb is the lowest on there, and there's a bunch of guys with 1. Like, that makes 0.
0.
The guy they miss is Dalton Schultz. And I will say this.
Yep. Yeah,
Neymar,
for sure.
Yesterday, sitting right in that seat, Robert Griffin, who he'll say stuff. And that's the beauty of RG3.
You're learning about.
He said to me, they need to trade for Kyle Pitts right now. And you know what? I'm in. Kmart, make it happen.
You're in for any trade.
I love a trade.
Greedy season is over. He don't care.
Yeah.
Blow up all these teams.
That's talk show host 101. When in doubt, trade somebody.
It's an upgrade athletically to your tight ends. But it's week 3. Yeah. Like, I'm sure I love RG. I'm sure 2 weeks ago they didn't need Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
but they do now.
Yeah.
They do now.
See, that is the thing. I try to sit up here and represent the Cowboy faithful, and because I'm a fan on Sunday when I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
But realistically, this team is costing them. Jeff just pointed out, we got a number one receiver in the league that we've targeted.
Who is a dude?
I will push back on something you said. I actually think they miss Zeke. And in the offseason, I felt like he should have gone back there. I think they should have made it work.
But why do you think they miss Zeke?
Because they're struggling in the red zone and maybe a little pass protection. One way or the other.
Nope.
Let me say this. Right. I need to segue us here if I can. Because the Cowboys may need a lot of things. But what we need, is new security.
Yes, we do.
We need new security. So I go, take it away.
Let's get the security.
Okay, let's go.
Pay attention to the guy that's rushing the pass. Blow on him or something. Don't do this, though. This is absolute malpractice. You need new security. Hey, man, this is the guy that you got to protect. That is a travesty. Do you know you in a football game? You need new security.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Stop it.
All right, here we go. Earlier we had the pancakes, and now it is time for Swagoo's revenge.
We ain't worried about you, Swagoo.
Let him know.
We ain't worried about you.
I'm starting this thing off right. Mic hanging and everything. Come on, Kyle Hamilton. I don't know. Look, shout out to going to miss you for winning games, but Kyle Hamilton, they decided to blitz him three times, and guess what happened? He sacked going to three times. Look, the Indianapolis, the coach said, we ain't giving you security today. We don't give a damn. We're going to win the game another way. But it ain't going to be by you not getting hit going to miss you. I don't know, Jeff. When are you supposed to pick up a blitz? In the first quarter, second quarter, or third quarter? Some quarter? You got to stop. Let the man get hit. Hamilton, y'all get it. I'm here at Broadway. This is Hamilton. It's a phenomenal day. Oh, my Lord, Trey Henderson. Listen, my man Andrew Whitworth texted me and said, Lord, I needed to be on the field last night because Trey Henderson was having his way. I feel terrible for you, Matt Stafford, Matthew, as Darren Orlovsky called you. But Trey Henderson was whooping tail, and he made sure that all the security guards in America knew, you ain't got enough muscle for me, cuz. I'm going to get your people. And he went and got their people. You need new security, Matt Stafford. And last but not least.
Oh, boy.
Lord have mercy,
oh
y'all.
Boy.
Sometimes when you play this game, you meet giants. And this is, look, the most embarrassing thing, look at the tackle. He sacked the tackle, too. Okay?
He really did.
Just give me two of them. Give me two of them. Because, Jeff, this is what happens when you get to the club. One security guard is at the front. And somebody start giving them a problem. And the one security guard is like, I'm big enough to do this. And then they realize, no, I ain't. I need to call somebody else. But what happened in this situation? Miles Garrett said, call everybody. Y'all need all the security. And it still ain't going to work.
Classic. By the way, Miles Garrett, this was the other play, Swagoo. This was the play where the Titans were just following him around. Watch this.
Look at
Garrett. They're going with him.
They tried to Garrett check it. Garrett check.
Come on. Come on.
They call timeout.
Gee, this is what happens. This is what happens. This is the detail.
Yeah.
When you see the dude running by the car. And then the car changed direction and run by the car again. That's what you need. You better have your detail on the right side. That's the only chance you got.
So they got a delay of game. And then the next play.
Yeah. You know why? Because they thought they could open the club again. No, you can't.
Nope.
I'm going to beat somebody up in this club. It don't matter what you do. So you can temporarily close it. You can disable all of the security features. I'm still going to beat somebody up in this club.
Jeff, what is that moment like?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Great fear.
Yeah.
The whole line's going that way.
Throw it.
At least tell him to take
it
here.
Throw it, man. Get it going.
See,
that's what happened.
One, two, three, throw it away.
That's what happened.
All right, we got a game in London on Sunday morning.
Oh, you ain't
going
to listen to the go through the back door.
9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on ESPN+. Plus. Bijan and Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars, and the Falcons at Wembley, ESPN+. Plus. Go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app.
Yeah.
We're going to catch our breath next. Denver defense, disgusting. Is there anything Sean Payton can do to save the season? We will dial up their security next. Yeah. Get up on ESPN.
Send them through the back.
Somebody.
Send them through the back. I'm going through the front. I'm going through the front. Send them through the. No, I'm going through the front.
one of the saddest buildings. Tomorrow morning, when everyone shows up to work, we should rank the saddest buildings in football. It's up there. It's behind the, it's behind the Bears, maybe. The Broncos a little sadder, but third place coming in strong is the Jets.
Sad building.
Well, so asking ye shall receive. Dominique Foxworth suggested we should rank the five saddest buildings in the NFL. And so with this very sad music playing,
I love it.
We will now rank the five saddest buildings in today's Foxy Five.
We've all been there. You had a rough loss, and you don't want to go in there and look at each other. And I'm going to rank them. So number five, the Vikings. The Vikings, pretty sad building. If you watch that game, it's a game that they had a chance to win despite the fact, tip ball caused the interception. Despite the fact that they got a big fourth down stop, they had a chance to win this game. They had an interception in the hands of the cornerback, and it ended up a touchdown. It was such a sad game. They are 0-3. That building is pretty sad. Next, the Raiders. Your coach don't even want to win.
your
coach
is
worried about the spread. your best player, you know how the build. I know the building is sad. We think that receivers, all they want is the ball. Devontae getting the ball every snap. He's still one out of town. That's a sad building. And now the third saddest building might be a shocker. You might have thought it'd be higher than
this. We're only third?
Yeah, you're only third. Because you got a lot of talent in that room and a lot of pride in there. But it's a real sad building when you walk in and you know you ain't got no chance. You're like, we're going to look at this game plan, but it ain't going to work.
They've made my building sad.
But wait till you see, the other
building.
Talk about a sad building. These boys ain't won since Halloween last year.
It's true.
And this is a sad building.
Ghost and goblins.
The quarterback's not good. The coach is not good. They sent away an all-pro linebacker so they could give his money to a couple other guys who are underachieving in the saddest of all buildings. You are locked up for tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for a coach and a quarterback in Denver. And you lost by 70. I don't care who you are. Don't make eye contact. When you get there on Monday morning, no breakfast for nobody. Coaches,
they pull all the
general managers, front office, players, nobody eats. Nobody speaks.
We'll get people hungry.
Don't talk to me in the hallway.
70.
It's a, 70. Can you imagine 70. That flight home?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That flight home?
I actually want to dive. We were going to just get into Denver here, but I actually just because we've got the players here, and I could see your face and your face as well. Like, what is that like? When let's just use a number. You never gave up 70.
I don't know.
After you lose a really bad game, and you know you guys know you played terribly, what is it like when you walk reassemble in the building for the first time?
Gee, it's quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet, almost like it's you in mourning. Because, look, you spend all week preparing for 3 hours on a Sunday, and you give up 70 points. You looking at your coach sideways, your family don't know who you are. You're just all over the place, man. It's a pride thing, but more important than a pride thing, you think you suck.
And it's bad when you have to watch the film.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I had a couple times when we lost with the coaches, it was so bad that they was like, We ain't gonna watch it. Because that's a sad feeling when you walk it in there and you're like, all right, now I gotta sit down in front of my teammates and I know exactly play 23.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the bathroom when we get round 21-22. I gotta go to the bathroom. I don't wanna be in there when my garbage pops up.
Meanwhile, there's 13 of those plays. So you can't go to the bathroom that long. Yeah, you got something going on.
It's a bug.
But I'm just letting you know, those are the most painful days. And when you walk in all the ones you're bringing up, the devastation that you feel, and you can't just shake it off. Like people are like, you don't just shake it off. You go through a grieving process. And let me tell you something. When the coaches start tallying numbers on a game like this, ain't no reason to watch film. Ain't no reason. I mean, on one of these plays we showed, there were six or seven Broncos on the ground.
Yes.
On the ground.
Hey,
and a dude is housing it.
I'm cutting off fobs. Nobody getting in. Yeah. If you want in this building, you might have to climb the gate. Climb the gate.
We're going to work at the high school. Everybody just meet me at the local high school.
Yeah, we practice.
We're going to practice with their team.
No, Payton said it was worse watching it on rewatches.
Let me tell you something.
And I've been there when Rex has said, yeah, we had to bury that film.
Yeah,
you
did.
After a Monday night game.
Balls buried film. Yeah. It's like, we're not even going to watch
that. Yeah, he actually did that. And I know no one cares about our problems, but I will say, when you're the reporter covering that team, when you've got to walk in there Wednesday and start asking questions.
What's the question?
That's not a lot of fun either, because everyone, there's a lot of pride involved. When you give up 70 points, I can't fathom, because it's one thing to lose. It's another thing.
That reporter asked that man, how embarrassing, historically embarrassing.
Let me ask you two a question. Yeah. Y'all been in that situation.
Yeah.
Real spill.
Yeah.
That reporter was trolling.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just looking for Sean to say more about
how embarrassing he was.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, that you are supposed to go off on him. Yeah. Like, I know what just happened.
But again, in Sean Payton, the way he handles, like, what's your question? What's your question?
Well, he had just finished saying it was the most embarrassing.
I get it.
I don't know if any of y'all ever had your asses beat, but having somebody interview about it afterwards is real difficult.
My goodness.
And then you tell them how embarrassing it is,
I know.
And they follow up. However, it was historically embarrassing. now tell me.
Yeah.
Like, he should be grateful that all Sean did was say next question.
Right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you those are the days you just know someone's going to yell at you.
I did not enjoy my questions a lot of the time. Let's just be honest.
One way or another, Bears Broncos.
Yeah.
We got the very sad. We got the battle of the two saddest buildings.
They need to have a battle of the bands.
For real.
Get people involved.
Who wins that game? I got 15 seconds.
Broncos win it.
Broncos beat the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the only game either of them wins this season.
I hope it's a 0-0 tie.
Oh, my God.
I got the Broncos. I think Russ is fine. I think Russ playing well.
Yeah. Their record should be better. It's the Broncos.
All right. We'll see. We'll see if Justin Fields is able to throw for 300 yards for the first time since Clemson. Sorry to bring up
how
historically embarrassing that may have been. All right. The group's got to go across the hall. First Take is coming up next. Is Zach Wilson taking too much heat? Are the Cowboys on upset alert against New England? It's First Take. Molly, Stephen A., the Mad Dog. Swagoo and Kmart will be there, too. First Take, top of the hour on ESPN.
What a shit.
All right, great weekend of college football. Week 5, ABC and the ESPN app. We got Texas, Kansas, 3:30 Eastern, monster game. And then prime time, we got Notre Dame taking on Duke. A terrific weekend of college football on ABC. All right, we finish the only way we can, and that is with Jerry Jones signing a baby.
Oh, my word.
Again.
He tried to give the baby back, and then they repeated.
They're like, no.
Sign it, Mr. Jones. Jerry, you want me to sign a baby? A baby? You sign the baby?
He's like, that's enough.
And you can tell the security guard's panicked. He's like, holding
underneath. Do not drop the baby.
Don't drop him. Don't drop the baby.
But the baby is like, get me out of here. Get me away from this.
What do you think
man.
The baby is thinking?
He's very upset and confused. What? I thought you loved me, is what that baby is thinking. Why you give me to this scary old man? Please, Daddy, take me back.
Imagine if you're just signing things and then someone just hands you a baby.
Yeah.
When did that tradition start?
I don't know, but we need to put an end to it now.
Don't love it.
Fun today. See you tomorrow. First Take now.